When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everyone. Your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there, that's the wild man, Chris Wilds. And you are you, and we're thankful that you decided to join us for our, I think this is our sixth Big Ten team preview. Back in the day, we would have been halfway done. But Chris,
yeah,
at six, we're only 33% of the way home.
We're only just getting started. There's a ton still to go, Eric.
And, of course, we're talking about Minnesota today, the Golden Gophers, the fighting PJ Flex, Chris. And so
they're rowing the boat up there, Eric.
They are still rowing the boat. Nine seasons of boat rowing is in fact, up there in Minneapolis. And so
how many Big Ten titles?
Zero.
That's right.
That's right. But, however, they under PJ Flex, you have to admit, they have done a lot better than they have previously done under former regimes.
I guess I can't argue with that. That's true. However, I still look at what the expectations were when PJ Fleck came in. And even though I think that they have achieved more than they have under other coaches, I still also feel like they've underachieved.
Well, he did kind of set the bar high right away.
He did.
And with some really good teams.
And he has had some injury issues with some big-time players. I mean, we go back a few years and we think about the first game that C.J. Stroud started. Eric, I think Minnesota wins that game if they don't lose Muhammad Ibrahim right out of the gate. I really do.
It's a possibility. And, you know, they can step up and surprise a team at the beginning of the season. They've done it before. And they're hoping to do it again as they play North Carolina to start this year's 2024 campaign off.
But they're also a team that's prone to getting surprised from time to time.
They are.
Bowling Green, you know.
Ouch. Yeah. Although they did beat the Falcons in the bowl game last year to get some revenge. But, you know, let's go ahead and dive into what the Minnesota Golden Gophers did last year first. Then we're going to bring on our friends from the Sky U Pod to talk, interview them and get their take on how their team's going to look this season before Chris and I go ahead and look over the roster real quick and give you our prediction after we check out the schedule. So here we go. 2023 last year, Chris, interesting season. They started off with a thrilling Thursday night win against Nebraska at home. 13-10. It was a boring game offensively, but football was back and everybody was watching. They then backed that up with a win over Eastern Michigan, so an annual back victory before losing on the road bad to North Carolina. And then they lost in Chicagoland to Northwestern. And that's when everybody's eyebrow kind of raised on, holy cow, is Northwestern going to actually be decent this year? And that was the game that was kind of like, we didn't see that one coming. They beat Louisiana 35-24 at home. And then on national television, they dropped an absolute turd of a game, losing 52-10 to the team up north. However, at this point, people didn't realize that
the Connor Wolverines had the magic clipboard.
Yeah, the Wolverines kind of knew their plays. Bye week, and then they surprised Iowa in a game that took us back to the 1930s, or before, actually. 12-10. They beat Iowa 12-10 last year.
Without a touchdown.
Michigan State was next. That was a win, 27-12. And by this point, Minnesota had a record of 5 wins to 3 losses, and then the heartache. They had that game against Illinois in the books. That was going to be win number 6. Instead, Chris, they get shocked at the end, 27-26, and that started the losing spree. They lose to Purdue 49-30. They get destroyed by Ohio State 37-3, and then they lose the rivalry game against Wisconsin 28-14. However, they were accepted to a bowl game where they got to get the revenge over Bowling Green, like we mentioned, 30-24. Vegas had them at 6.5 wins last year. Chris, we both said take the over. We were both wrong. Minnesota last year ended up with a record of 6-7 overall, 3-6 in the Big Ten. PJ Fleck, this is his 8th season. He has a record of 50-34 overall. They play at Huntington Bank Field, which is the newest stadium in the Big Ten until Northwestern reveals theirs any season. It exceeds 50,805. Their all-time record is 737-544 with 44 ties. They are now 500 in bowl games at 12-12, and they've won the old conference 18 times. Chris, your thoughts on a little bit of the history and the last season, how that went for the old Fighting PJ Fleckers?
I would have to say it was a disappointment. I mean, I think you and I both, like we said, had what, 8 wins. I think we both expected a lot more from this team. I kind of feel like a lot of people are going to expect a lot more this season as well. And, you know, I just don't know that they got it, Eric. Five and seven. How did they even sneak into a bowl game with only 5 wins? That's the question.
Academics, you know? Brother. Academics.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to bring on the SkyU pod boys to interview them, get their take on the team that they cover for the College Huddle. We will be right back after this interview. And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. We're joined by our special guests, Max and Kurt from the SkyU pod. If these guys look familiar to you, Buckeye fans, they should. They were our sister pod on Big Banter a year ago that we previewed Minnesota. And they're back with us again now on the College Huddle side of things. Max, Kurt, welcome to the OHIO podcast and our Minnesota preview for 2024.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you having us on. Looking forward to talk some Gopher football.
Let's do that. Let's talk some Gopher football. So we were talking about it in pre-show. Let's just start there because I've mentioned it to my people. I have Minnesota circled, highlighted as a team that you should keep your eyeballs on, but that's kind of difficult because, well, PJ Fleck has basically shut the doors to all outside media, fans, etc. He's basically brought everything in-house, a la kind of very similar to what Jim Harbaugh did a couple years ago in Ann Arbor, kind of shut everybody off, circle the wagons. Is this a good thing or bad thing?
I think it's a good thing because PJ will, I don't want to say make, well, he does make excuses. We would be hearing stuff trickle out if he didn't think that this was going to be a good squad this year. We happen to know a guy who was like around the team, but not really like, you know, a staff of the team who got to be at some of the practices and whatnot. And PJ is high on what this year's team can do. He thinks that they're going to surprise a lot of people. So we know PJ behind closed doors feels good about this team, and he likes to keep everything as close to the vest as possible. So to me, as a Gopher fan, I'm choosing to see it as a positive that we're getting like no news out of this summer lull.
Yeah, absolutely. I can echo that too. It seems like the more PJ talks, the more nervous we get because we're like, oh no, he's trying to sell us on something that's not going to be as high of a quality product. But he loves to fly under the radar when he knows he's got some talent and he's got a, you know, a potentially better team than people are predicting. So as of right now, yeah, no news is good news.
And well, that's just true in college football in the offseason in general. A lot of times, right. No news is good news. Like, I just wrote an article about, is Joe Burrow, does he claim Ohio State or not? Like, everybody hates that article, but at the same time, it's like, that's what you want to read in the offseason, yeah, because that means no one's getting in trouble, no one's right, injured, you know, things of that nature. So we're going to look at kind of how the roster's built, dig into those things and whatnot. But I want to get your guys' take, because I know you guys are Gopher fans, obviously. But I also know you guys aren't homers. Like, you will tell the truth. Like, Kurt, I've listened to you really ruffle some Minnesota fans' feathers with some fans, because you're like, here's the truth, guys. This offensive line, I'm really high on your offensive line as I've dug into it. Is PJ Fleck going to be able to be, and this offense going to be able to be creative enough offensively to not be so predictable, given the fact, hey, you've got a great offensive line and you run the ball good? Is there enough there in the passing department to level this thing out, to keep people from just loading the box on you guys and playing football in a phone booth again in Minnesota?
So I'll start with on the talent side of things, like in the receiving core, I think there is enough. We got Daniel Jackson back, excuse me. He's in his final year. He's been a productive player, but was our best receiver last year. So he's a clear, legit Big Ten receiver number one. Behind him, you have Lamecki Brogdon back for his third year, who missed basically all of last year with a torn ACL, I believe is what it was. But he's an explosive player as well. 2 years ago, you might remember, he took the slant 45 yards with like less than 5 minutes to the house against Wisconsin to beat them in Camp Randall. So he's an explosive guy. You got guys like Elijah Spencer in his second year in the system here. And then you got the five-star transfer guy out of Georgia, Tyler Williams. And so not sure how much he'll play right away, just getting here in the spring. But, you know, adding talent there is always nice, given that, you know, we don't throw the ball around the yard. So having another guy like that in the room is going to help. The question really that all Gopher fans are wondering is PJ going to allow us to throw the football around? You got a new transfer in Max Brosmer, who threw the ball a lot at New Hampshire. How much that's going to transfer over here? You know, it's been the same kind of complaint, no matter what the offensive coordinator or who the offensive coordinator has been, is how much we throw the football. You know, 2019, it worked. We had that perfect kind of mix. Granted, we had Rashad Bateman on the outside. That was a huge help. But yeah, I think the story and the biggest question heading into this season is PJ going to allow us to not be so predictable and just run Darius Taylor into the ground?
Yeah. Max, do you have anything to add to that? Or is there any other storylines maybe that you think Big Ten fans, Ohio State fans should be aware of with the Gophers?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Kurt alluded to. Like, it to me, it feels like, how much is PJ going to trust Max Brosmer? And if we go back to last year when Ethan Kaliak-Manis took over as the new starting quarterback, you know, we heard about the arm talent, but we knew he was a little bit inexperienced, so we didn't really know what we were getting. And that first game against Nebraska, he actually threw the ball 40 times, which was brand new to us. But he only completed, I think, 20 passes. And after that, it was like shut down. Like, you're not throwing the football. And obviously, you know, things worked out the way that they did. He ends up transferring. Just wasn't the right spot for him. If everything that we've heard is accurate, that Brosmer really is a truly, like, potentially NFL caliber quarterback, and it sounds like he's really smart, he's a really cerebral quarterback. Some guys early on in camp were saying that he actually knew more about the playbook already than they did, and they've been with the team for years already. I don't know if that's something I would admit if I was a player on the team, but high praise for the new quarterback, I guess. I'll take it that way. If I'm a Gopher fan, I'm hearing all the positives, right? But yeah, it's basically, how much is he going to trust Brosmer? I think game one we'll see against North Carolina. I think he's going to hopefully just let him loose. And if things go well, I think the rest of the year we can expect more of the same. If things don't go well game one, my fear is that PJ is just going to put the clamps down again, and it's going to be, let's run out the clock, let's play, you know, academy-style football the rest of the season.
You guys brought up Ethan Kaliak-Manis. Now, Rutgers, obviously, now, I believe, and you know, crazy or not, man, I think Rutgers, if you look at that schedule, Rutgers has got a legitimate shot to make the college football playoff because they literally play nobody.
Ooh. Yeah. Jeez. No, you're right. I think they're going to have a huge season. I don't know if I'm ready to go college football playoff.
Well,
but
they avoid Ohio State. Team up north.
Yeah.
Penn State. Oregon. Iowa. Traditionally the five best teams in the Big Ten, you know, and then add Oregon. And they don't play any of those teams. And they're better, you know, and they had us on the ropes last year. And the reason why Ohio State beat them is we literally knew they could not throw the football. And now they at least have someone who, as you alluded to, had a game where he at least threw 40 passes in a game. Yeah. I don't even think they had a quarterback who did that. But my point is this. I mean, so you lose that guy. Were there any other losses through graduation and or transfer portal that kind of hurt the roster a little bit?
I would say as personnel-wise, Zach Evans, he was a running back, our number two running back last year, had some injury problems as well. But when Darius Taylor went down, he was really our only guy that could do anything against Michigan. Unfortunately, everyone saw what they did to us on prime time last year. That was not pretty. But Zach Evans was the only positive that game. He could move the football. He transferred out. I think basically the coaches didn't fully trust him, and he wanted more carries. So he went to a smaller school to kind of be a number one. Which is okay because we did kind of reload there and get a lot of experience. I'm just not sure if any of the guys we brought in are as quite to the level that Zach Evans was. They're high on the kid out of Ohio that we brought in, the transfer, Cy Van Gura. I'm probably butchering his first name. I know that's probably not right, but I haven't heard anyone actually announce it yet. So wait and see there. But they're really high on him. He's kind of a ground and pound guy as well, so probably a better guy to handle the load if Darius Taylor does get banged up at some point again this year. So they did a good job of filling in for guys that left at the running back spot. But I would say Zach Evans was probably the biggest personnel loss as far as to the portal.
Yeah, I would agree for the portal. I think overall, just the player that's going to be the hardest to replace is going to be Tyler Newbin, obviously, just because he's, you know, he was our best player on defense last year. He's probably one of the best players on the team. Goes to the NFL, and I think it's a bigger loss just because I think now you're left with the safety group that is probably one of the bigger question marks on the team. You know, if we already had a guy that was kind of waiting in the wing and we knew what he could do, it wouldn't be as big of a loss, but just the fact that, you know, you go from safety is one of your strengths to now one of your weaknesses that quickly. That's why I would pick Newbin as kind of the, you know, the most obvious as far as leaving, but
for sure,
you know, he's going to the NFL and not transferring. So it was to be expected.
Yeah. Let's talk defense a little bit, guys, because, you know, I've been kind of waving the offensive flag for you. I think offensively the Gophers have a really good shot of being pretty good this year offensively. Again, as I think your offensive line is top three in the Big Ten. I'm not joking at all about that. I think you guys know how to run the football, obviously, and you got the skilled guys, like you said. It's just, will you have the quarterback to do it? Defensively is where I feel like I don't see, as from going from front to back, the same type of, I can name a dude at every level that you can on the offensive side. Is defense the concern for this football team?
100%. I think so. Now, I think the defensive ends are going to be, should be okay. Ja Joyner, Danny Strigano, both back. Those are both of our defensive ends up front, both fifth-year guys. So they have all the experience. They've been really solid players. Ja Joyner, pretty much your only guy that has been able to consistently rush the passer. So pass rush is always a struggle with just the front four for the Gophers. So got to have someone step up there. And then the linebackers, you know, we have Cody Lindenberg, who we're very high on, but he was hurt 70% of the year last year. So he threw out, I'm blanking on Mav's last name, Max. Mav Baranowski?
Yep.
Yeah. And so him and Devin Williams just got way more playing time than we were expecting. And then walk-ons like Tyler Stolsky. So they all got a ton of experience last year when they probably weren't expected to. We got to hope that they took that next step in the offseason and just kind of can slow down, read what's in front of them, and go make the play. Because you could just tell that their heads were spinning around out there at times. They just didn't know what to do or had their eyes in the wrong spot. A lot of bad reads made. But, yeah, and then losing Newbin on the back end. I will say, I think the corners might be the most slept on spot on this team.
Really?
Justin Wally's in his final year. Yep. I would say prior to last year, he was probably looking at potentially getting drafted. Didn't have his best year last year, but he's super athletic. I mean, he was a borderline four-star kid out of Mississippi, chose us over Mississippi State out of high school, made some really big plays as a freshman, and still made plays last year, too. He had the game winning sealing interception against Iowa. Just too many plays where it seemed like he kind of fell asleep. Maybe he was trying to do too much for some other guys that weren't experienced. So you bring him back kind of on like a revenge type year. And then you got Ethan Robinson, the transfer out of Bucknell. And I know Bucknell's not the biggest school, but this guy has a ton of experience, played a lot of snaps. He's got 1 year left. So you got two veteran guys on the outside, and they like the length and the athleticism of the young guys behind them. They haven't seen a lot of action yet, but I think corner could be a sneaky good spot on this defense. It's just, like you said, down the middle might be a little bit more questionable.
Max, yeah. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you pretty much hit on it all. And, you know, I think overall depth is always a concern, right? Especially like we saw last year, and you kind of alluded to it, Kurt, with all our linebackers being hurt. It's kind of the same thing this year. Like, we can't really afford any injuries at the linebacker position or even safety. Defensive line, it feels like we're pretty good depth-wise. And then corner, we'll kind of see if the young guys have to play. I think the big thing, too, defensively, outside of just personnel-wise, is we do have a new defensive coordinator in Corey Heatherman. Joe Rossi left, took the Michigan State defensive coordinator job. So that's kind of the other piece, too, is we do have a new guy kind of, you know, called the signals on defense. So we'll see how it works out. He actually came over from Rutgers. He was their linebackers coach, but he has experience as a D coordinator, I believe, at James Madison and then at Maine at the FCS level. So he's got experience as a defensive play caller, not at the highest levels yet, but everywhere he's been successful. And by all, you know, from all accounts, it sounds like his style is pretty similar to what our guys are used to. But what he's brought, it sounds like what he's brought in is a defense that allows everyone to play a little more relaxed and just kind of focus on their job. They don't have to do too much, and they can play a little bit freer, which I think is what we were looking for out of last year. It seemed like, you know, our best players were trying to do too much, and it was just too complicated. Whereas now we can get a guy that just, you know, let your athletes be athletes. He likes to blitz a lot more, which is what we were harping on a lot the last couple of years, that we have no pass rush and no, you know, we're not forcing any pressure. So I see it as a positive that we do kind of have a new face, and, you know, it's someone that can step in and help these guys progress too.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me that it seems like that sometimes a defensive playbook can get away from a coordinator, and then the next guy comes in and he simplifies it, and the players instantly gravitate towards that. We've seen the same thing here at Ohio State, you know, where we traditionally been a very good defensive program, and for about the – well, kind of since, in all honesty, since Urban came in and really emphasized offense, defense kind of took a step back. And, you know, under Ryan Day, early on in his tenure as head coach, the defense took a giant leap back, and it was not something that this fan base was used to. And you bring in a new defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles, and who runs a very complicated defense, and the first thing he did was, I got to simplify this thing for the kids. And it's like, wow, okay. So sometimes I think when signals aren't coming through clearly, they get in their own head defensively.
Yeah.
And they start seeing ghosts on the other side. And, you know, at the end of the day, football is really elementary. See ball, go get ball. Like, that's, you know, the best defenders in the world are all, they can all anticipate where the ball is going and be there. And no matter where you might start and what formation or whatever, simplify this thing. So that's probably a good thing for you guys, in all honesty. We've seen it here at Ohio State, too.
Yeah, and Joe Rossi is a loss. Don't get me wrong; he had a lot of good defenses here, but that was just why we're kind of hopeful. Just last year, it was our big guys making the mistakes last year. You know, I love Tyler Newbin; he's going to have a great career in the NFL. But I mean, he got beat for a post that with like a minute to go against Illinois, and it's just like he was running up to cover like nothing that was underneath. So it was just weird mistakes that just kept happening throughout the season, and we just could not stop the big plays from happening. And it was just very unlike a Joe Rossi defense, and especially from guys like Justin Wally and Tyler Newbin who are making some mistakes like that. I think, like you said, a new guy just coming in, some fresh eyes, just kind of resetting it all. I think it's going to help this team, who's got some veteran guys. We got a lot of veterans, older guys now out there on defense. So if they can just get right, I think physically they should be okay. They're not out talented by a bunch of guys. Obviously there's the juggernauts on offense. I don't want to get ahead of us there, but I don't think the talent's a huge issue on the defensive side of the ball. I think it was just miscommunications and not playing the scheme properly.
Yeah, let's flip over to the other side of the ball real fast. Gosh, doggone, you guys, I'm looking at senior. I'm like, do you guys not graduate anybody in Minnesota? Like, I think some of the problems, you know, and we're going to be this year the team that's all of a sudden got all those juniors who didn't go to the NFL who came back, and now it's like we're not used to this, you know. You usually senior days kind of a quick thing at Ohio State. It's like, oh, who's the 12 guys who weren't good enough to go to the NFL? There they are, you know, or didn't transfer out, you know, or whatever nowadays. But you guys are so senior laden, and you know, maybe talk to a little bit about that. Max, I'll start with you on this side this time. Some of the leadership that you're getting, and then given the fact that this schedule, which we'll get tuned into next, is it's got some difficult areas, but it's also got some games where it's like, all right, guys, leadership should take over. This should be a dub. Come on, you know? So talk to that a little bit, Max, about the offensive leadership side of this thing with some of the upperclassmen.
Yeah, no, and I think you kind of alluded to it before with the offensive line, and that's where most of our, you know, our seniority comes from, is pretty much every single offensive line spot, aside from center, where it's Greg Johnson, who he actually got a lot of playing time last year as a freshman. I think having that cohesive unit on the offensive line is huge, that they've all kind of come up together. They understand how each other is going to play. They know, you know, they know this offense. They know what's expected of them, and they know how to run the football, which is what we have to do if we want to be successful. So I think that's the biggest thing. And just, it feels like every time we do lose key offensive linemen and we have to replace them with inexperienced players, even if they're talented, I feel like that inexperience shows up so much more on the offensive line, especially in our offense, just because we do rely so much on the run. So having that stability at the offensive line is key. Quarterback, even though he's a transferring in, first time playing at the FBS level, first time, you know, in the Big Ten, Brosmer has played a lot of football, and it, you know, he took guys down with him to Georgia. It sounds like he's already kind of stepped into that leadership role, you know, training with guys in the off season. Everyone's kind of gravitating towards him. He's kind of a quiet leader, but he will voice his opinions, and, you know, guys follow what he's doing. So having that voice at quarterback is going to be huge. I think we missed a little bit of that last year too, you know, with Tanner Morgan, who'd been here for like a decade, it felt like, replacing him with a younger guy in Cali McManus. It was hard. I'm sure it's hard for guys to get used to a younger kid who's kind of maybe had a little bit of deer in the headlights look when he's taking the field sometimes. I don't know. But so having it at quarterback too, and even wide receiver and tight end, like, we've got seniors everywhere and at every position group to kind of lead the way for each individual group. So I think that's just going to be nice that, like, whether running the ball, passing the ball, any aspect of the game, no matter what the situation is, everyone's seen it before. Everyone's been there. And a lot of these guys have been playing together for so long that, you know, that's something that I feel like is lost now, especially in the new era of college football with transferring and guys jumping everywhere, that you don't get these groups that are together for this long. And I think especially when it comes to the Iowas and the Wisconsin games, those games are going to matter that much more to those guys, that this is their last chance to go win both those trophies.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Kurt, anything to add to that, brother?
You know, just touching on the schedule, opening up with North Carolina. I know they lost Drake May, but they always recruit well. They're always going to have athletes. So dangerous game to start. We do get them at home this year. I just like having playmakers that have been there before and just had have that experience. Like Daniel Jackson, he made the tough catch in the season opener last year against Nebraska to win that one, or tie that one, I should say. And then, yeah, I mean, Darius Taylor got one carry that game, but he played enough in big moments last year too. And like Max touched on, the whole line's pretty much back. So just having guys to lean on in tough moments, that just makes it easier when you start off with like a pretty tough opponent in North Carolina, which I think we're currently favored in. So by Vegas.
Really?
By
one okay. Point.
Yeah.
So. Cool. So that's basically a pick 'em then.
Yeah.
But you are at home.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think, what is it, the first four at home?
At home. Yep. So after North Carolina, you kind of go into your get right games.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Rhode Island, I believe, is on there. And I think it's New Mexico.
Nevada?
The other Nevada. One? Nevada. Yes. Yep. And that's how seriously I'm taking them, I guess. Yeah. And then after you get through that, I like playing Iowa early. They're usually a little bit more susceptible early, especially having a new offensive coordinator. I think the earlier, the better playing Iowa. So, and again, getting them at home. So if you can go 3-1, but especially if you can get to 4-0, then I think your hopes are getting sky high for this.
Yeah. Team this year. Yeah. This is, like I said, this is a schedule to where I think if your upperclassmen take the bull by the horns, you can build some momentum early. Yeah. That North Carolina game, win or lose, let's just say you win a close one there.
Sure.
Okay. The next two should be auto dubs. And then Iowa, although Iowa is really good defensively, yeah. Again.
It's always going to be tight against Iowa, no matter what.
I think you have something that they can't equate to, and that is your offensive line. If your offensive line can establish the line of scrimmage against them, despite how good their linebackers are, if you're getting a push up front, I think what it's going to cause them to do is bring those good safeties down into the box. I think they can be had. We did it last year against them. When we forced them to play close to the line of scrimmage, we just went over the top on them, and it was ball game.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop it. And so I really just feel like even though Iowa's really good defensively, if you can get them to play your game, you will win that football game. And then after that, you know, you got USC and UCLA. Let's say I think you can beat UCLA, right? Like even though it's on the road, you should win that football game. Even so, if you go 5-2 in those first seven games,
yeah,
I'm saying you look pretty good. As a Minnesota fan, I'd be happy with that.
In there, I believe as well. Michigan is after Iowa.
I didn't bring that up for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Although you know me, I want you guys to beat the living tar out of them.
Yeah.
They probably know all of your play calls. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard.
Exactly.
Well, we catch them after Iowa. So if we win the pig at the letdown spot, right?
I think you guys would happily trade a win over Iowa for an L with them. You'd be like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We would gladly trade an L with anybody as long as we could beat them right now. So then you get your bye, one of two byes this season for everybody, which I think is incredibly unique. The next three games are uber interesting. You get Maryland at home. That should be an auto W. I think Maryland might have the greatest loss in talent out of anybody in the Big Ten this year. I think having Talia Tagovailoa as their quarterback for so long really gave that team an offensive boost that they just don't have now. So, and they haven't recruited as well as their brethren on the East Coast and Rutgers have. Rutgers has out-recruited them for like multiple years in a row. So yeah. I think that's hurt them on their roster. I think that should be a win for you guys. And then you have Illinois and Rutgers. Now, you're on the road for both of these. And I'm flat out going to tell you, the Illinois game, which I know has traditionally been a Big Ten West rival for you guys, the Illinois game is going to be probably 4 to 5 times easier than the game in Piscataway, New Jersey for you. I mark it down. I kid you not, guys.
It's not that I'm doubting on Rutgers. There's just a guy down there in Champaign that the Gophers have never beat in Brett Bielema.
You can beat him.
Winless.
You can beat him.
I believe it. I thought we had it last year, and then all of a sudden they have a wide open post for no reason at the end of the game. It just made zero sense.
Backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback.
Yeah, that game was crazy, guys. I watched that one. Man. That was crazy.
Yeah, and again, I'm not – I sound like a Rutgers hater. I'm not. I think they're going to have a terrific year. I think it's fair to be have more belief in Rutgers than Minnesota this year, just looking at all the changes we had and everything and everyone they're returning on defense. I think that totally makes sense. That game's going to be an absolute slugfest. And I just, you know, they have a great defense. I like our offensive line. So we're gonna have to see the health when we get there. That game's going to be close and very low scoring, in my opinion.
What if I told you that could be a prime time game?
Yeah.
Rutgers
schedule plays out for that, especially because they could have a lot going at that point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That could be a prime time game. Like you could get one of those where the networks are fighting over Minnesota versus Rutgers. Who would have thought that? No, I think that really, that's a game that I have circled on my schedule. Like, hey, this is going to be a fun game to watch. No, I understand what you're saying. Looking at your roster, looking at the way the schedule sets up, looking at the expectation of the fan bases, the over-unders that Vegas is giving out for everybody, I don't think there's any reason why you guys can't go in the Champaign and get that W this year. I really believe that.
I'm with you. I'm just scared of the big man.
The dude about set his office on fire making a frozen pizza. Come on.
Yeah, I know, we got to figure something out. But it's funny, I haven't done a deep dive into Illinois yet. It just seems quiet. It just seems very quiet around there about what's...
They are hoping to just get to a bowl game. Okay. That's their expectations right now, is we hope to get 6.
And I saw they brought in 2 offensive linemen in the portal that they're really banking on. So
JC's good. Or CJ, if I can't remember now. Maybe is it CJ Newton or JC Newton? I don't know, whatever, something like that. He's good. To me, it's one of those things where when you go from a group of 5 to a power 4, I need to see it first. Kind of like with your quarterback.
Oh yeah.
You know, I need to see it first to, you know, before we really go in. Second bye, and now the last 2 games are incredibly interesting because both of these teams in Penn State and Wisconsin could be riding high or really riding low. Those 2 teams for me are on the trajectory to where if they have things go their way early on, then they could be playing for like, could we get into the playoff type of talk? Or they could be like, we're just trying to get to a bowl game. And I'm including Penn State in that too, because there's a lot of things outside of what's happening in the football department at Penn State that could affect their season. And if they get off to a bad start, you better believe that the Boo Birds over there in not so happy Valley are going to be all over. It's time to move on from James Franklin, given what's been going on this offseason. So by the time they get to this part of the season, you guys could be like 7, 8, 9 wins, and they could be at like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. You got Wisconsin. Is Luke Fickell building are they going to be questioning Luke Fickell? Is he building the right program here? Or do we need to go back to vanilla ice cream type of coaching staff offenses here? Like, this is incredibly interesting when we get to this point in the season. give me your anticipation. What do you guys think, prediction-wise, when you get to this point in the season, what it'll be like for these games? Because obviously Wisconsin-Minnesota, you're playing for a rivalry trophy. And then, you know, Penn State's a traditional East Coast or Big East, Big Ten East, yeah, traditional power. But there is no Big Ten East anymore. Does that take some of the shine off them a little bit?
Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And it is, to go back a little bit too, it's interesting how this season plays out, and that each section of the season is kind of like its own little mini season. Like you said, the first few outside of North Carolina, like that's just home opening, big home opener game. Then you've kind of got the automatic wins for the rest of your non-conference. And you kind of go into a gauntlet with, Iowa, Michigan, USC. And then it's a lull of UCLA, Maryland, Illinois, Rutgers. It's like we kind of get each section of the season all clumped together. So it'll be interesting to see if we win all the winnables and if we can pull out one against a USC or a Penn State. Like, that would be awesome. But by the end of the season, you kind of hit on the head. We could be at 8 or 9, or we could be at 4, and both feel realistic. I lean towards 7 or 8 wins by the end of the year. But at the same time, you look at what the numbers say, and it's like, well, there's going to be a lot more closer games and there will be, you know, easier wins. But I think it does play out nicely that, you know, we go to UCLA, we get a bye after the long travel. We go to Rutgers, we get a bye again after the long travel. Like, everything kind of plays out in our favor that way. So I lean more towards having 7 or 8 wins by the end. I think if we were to win 6 and get to a bowl game, I think that would be right at meeting expectations, you know, for what the nation is going to expect. But personally, as a Gopher fan, I think 7 or 8 wins has got to be the goal to be a successful year.
Yeah, I mean, talking about the last two specifically, I'll be honest, right now I'm not super optimistic about Penn State. I have them as the second toughest game. I guess I'm not as tuned into the outside football stuff. They just, and I'm not even the biggest Drew Aller fan. I just saw what they did to like Iowa last year and whatnot, and they return a lot of guys. I like their running back, so we'll see there. Never say never. It is at home on Senior Day, so.
If it's close, you win, because James Franklin's play calling is abysmal.
True. That's true.
Just keep it close, boys. We'll get this one.
Yeah. And then on to Wisconsin. I mean, yeah, our defense was at like rock bottom. We ran into Wisconsin. That sounds like a excuse last year, but that's just the truth. They just, you know, big play after big play could not contain the quarterback. So Mordecai was just tucking and running on us last year. But again, I mean, that was like an 11-point game or 13-point game loss to them. So. And Wisconsin's schedule is incredibly tough. They might be an overall better team this year and just have a worse record.
See, I mean, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Bama. Yeah. And then the fan base just starts to really kind of tear down Fickell and could lose the team.
Absolutely. So I definitely have Wisconsin as a coin flip, because I'll say it here, this might be a hot take, Camp Randall at the end of the year is one of the easiest environments to play in. I mean, if you go there and look at their student section, there's nobody there. They're all home for Thanksgiving. So we've won 2 out of the past 3 at Camp Randall. And the one we lost was, I think that was the COVID year during like a weird overtime game. So it's not the environment it's cracked up to be at that point in the year. That's not a shot. That's just facts. So I'm sorry if that makes Wisconsin mad. It's just, you know, it is what it is. So I got that as a coin flip for sure. I haven't decided on what that outcome will be as of yet. I want to see. But as far as we're going ceiling and floor, I think if everything breaks right, looking at the schedule, I think Michigan and Penn State, like, never say never in college football. I got those as both losses. I'm under the impression that while we're not going to be favored and shouldn't be favored against USC, I think it's still winnable.
I agree.
I think just the style in which we're if it goes our way that game, we can run the ball and almost play keep away a little bit, make them press a little bit offensively. So I think, you know, not giving us 50-50 on that, but I think it's possible. So all that said, I think we could go 9 to 10 wins if everything breaks our way this year. Like Max said, I think our floor, though, if everything goes the opposite way, I think 4 wins could be a real outcome just with all the new. I mean, you got new defensive coordinator. You're still thin at linebacker. You're banking on the FCS quarterback to step up and be the guy. So, I think 4, it's a crazy year just because there's so many question marks coming into it. But I think anywhere from 4 to, I'll put it at 9 because you're probably not going to get all those coin flip games. So I'd say 9 wins is probably our ceiling. And 4 is probably the floor for this Gopher squad this year.
That's quite the spread in there. Yeah, that tells you what kind of schedule you have. You know, yeah. So interesting, guys. This has been a lot of fun as always. You guys are the best, man. I still one of your ideas a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw that.
I watched.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think Max, I need to give you a attaboy for picking Ohio State. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, man. You know, I've always liked the Gopher uniforms. I like the old school Gopher uniforms, though.
Yeah, which we're kind of getting back to slightly.
Yeah,
the new ones.
Yeah, the big Gopher on the side of the helmet thing kind of scares me, though. I'm like, that's weird.
I don't want to say it because a lot of Gopher fans, I feel like my age, especially really like those. I've never been a big fan of our chrome domes, as we call them, the big shiny. I think everyone loves them because that's the ones we wore in 2019 and upset Penn State at home when we were undefeated and having the great year. So I feel like there's a special tie to that specific helmet for that reason. And I didn't hate it, but it just got worn all the time. So I'm kind of with you. I'm more old school.
I just remember you guys rolling out the old school maroon and yellow trim and in the old Metrodome. And I mean, I'm showing my age now, but people are like, wait a minute, Metrodome, what's that? You know?
Unfortunately, I went to too many Gopher games in the Metrodome. We were not the best in that era. But,
yeah. Oh, shucks. Hey, man, it's all good. Hey, if this is the first time a Minnesota fan's finding the SkyU pod here on this preview, where can they find you guys at?
Yeah, the podcast is available basically anywhere you listen. Just search SkyU pod, Apple and Spotify. Those seem to be the main two people look for us on. Then also on YouTube, we're at SkyU pod as well. So we have video now. We've been doing video for about 3 months now, I think, and we're live. We'll go live on YouTube and X. And then X is mainly our main social media account. We're at SkyUpod1 on X if you want to give us a follow there. And if any takes on X you're upset at, I do primarily run the account. So you can take it up with me, hold me responsible, Max, and we have Spencer as well. They're good guys. Don't get mad at them.
Although I do like the when you guys were doing the draft, you guys dogged Spencer a little bit. That was funny. I did enjoy that. A lot of fun. These guys are good guys. They were our when we started College Huddle and we were scoping out different podcasts. We tried our best to stay away from the old Big Banter people because we didn't want to ruffle any feathers, but. I was like, we are going after the SkyU pod, guys. We're just gonna do it. So, you were our number one draft pick. I don't know if that makes
appreciate
you feel
it.
Better.
Oh yeah, that made my day.
We'll hang the banner.
There you go, man. That's right, guys. Check them out. They are a great follow. They are lots of fun. Unfortunately, Ohio State and Minnesota don't play each other this year, so we won't get that crossover pod. Unless you guys make it to Indy and we make it to Indy, and then we can have all kinds of fun in Indianapolis because we will both be there. But if not, it's all good. We will definitely be following you guys this year, rooting on the Gophers. And of course, I expect you to do the same for the Buckeyes this year. Come on.
Absolutely.
All right. There we go, guys. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. Appreciate that. We'll see if you guys know how to do this. OH.
IO. Yeah, I'll give it to you.
All right. Max is like, I only like your uniforms.
I pick the uniforms. That's it. Sorry.
Well, do you guys have a slogan or anything other than SkyU Pod? Do you guys have a chant or anything?
Well, there's SkyU Ma for the Gophers. That's a university. And then in the fight song, you know, we do spell out Minnesota. And, you know, we do it cool. There are other schools that spell out their name. I'm like, that sounds so lame. And I think I kind of finally put it together last year. I'm like, I bet you every other team thinks it's lame when you spell out your entire state name. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always get to, you know, OH, someone will yell IO or OHIO and chant, and people are like, oh, you guys can spell Ohio. Good job. And I'm like, well, it's not my fault that we're not Mississippi and we can yell M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-B-B-I. You know, it's like, it's actually, Ohio is an Indian word for mighty river.
I did not know that.
There you go. So the Ohio River that runs, you know, starts in Pittsburgh, Ohio is the Indian word for mighty river. So there you go. Learn something new, guys. So we do have a connection because Sky Umad. There you go. Indian. There we go. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys coming in. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Sky Umad, for that amazing interview. Gosh, I love those guys. I'm glad that they decided to join us here at the College Huddle. Really do appreciate them. All right, Chris, it's time to look at Minnesota's roster. It's pretty good roster. As we've been doing these position groups, Minnesota has routinely had a player in the top 10 at every position group. And their offensive line is doggone good.
Might be the second best in the conference.
Second or third. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Problem is they cannot sustain injuries. They do not have the depth, which is kind of what we have seen happen to them in the past. So that being said, let's dive into the offense first and take a look at our lads and see what they say they predict for Minnesota offensively. Brand new quarterback, Max Brosmer, comes over from New Hampshire, going to be the graduate senior transfer quarterback for PJ Fleck. Darius Taylor, one of the best backs in the country. He needs to stay healthy. Nick Callerup is a redshirt senior at tight end. Look at those wide receivers. Again, senior, redshirt junior, senior. Elijah Spencer, Lamech Brockington, and Daniel Jackson. And then look at this offensive line. Fifth-year senior, graduate transfer senior, redshirt freshman, sophomore. Three seniors, a sophomore who started last year as a true freshman, and a redshirt freshman, although I would not be surprised if that redshirt junior, Aluma Nikeli, gets the start over Philip Daniels when the season starts. So offensively, Chris, I feel like this is a football team that, given what they have on offense and the experience they have, if PJ Fleck can just open the playbook and not try to win the old-fashioned way in a phone booth, but if they have confidence in this quarterback and he can throw the football and they can be balanced, Minnesota is going to be an offense that they're not going to be so predictable.
You know what, though, Eric? That might be kind of hard in a sense, too, because you look at that offensive line, the first thing that comes to mind is run the dang ball. Because that offensive line, man, they got some big, mean
yes,
guys on that line.
I know, but if that's all they're going to do, then everybody's going to load the box on him. He's got to get out of his own way, PJ Fleck does.
Does he have the receivers to?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
The receivers are okay. This is not, I don't think, a great group of receivers. They're all right. I think that it's a team with a lot of potential. But I think this is the year that if they don't have a big offensive year, people are going to start asking questions about PJ Fleck.
Well, that contract kind of is a nice little...
That's a nice, safety blanket
safety
there for
net,
him.
Yeah.
But, offensively, this is a team that should score points, Eric. And they should be able to do it at least a little bit through the air. And they should be able to score a whole lot on the ground, provided Taylor stays healthy. Because if you look behind Taylor, you go behind Brosmer, quarterback, if he goes down.
Yeah.
You're in the freshman.
Yeah, they went to the transfer portal to try to add depth to that running back room.
Yeah.
And that can be good or it can be bad. So
We saw it work out very good for Michigan State a few years ago with one Kenneth Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen it work out awfully, you know, not so great as well for teams. So,
well, that junior transfer, Cy Bengura,
yeah,
is from Ohio. That's a Bobcat. So,
yeah,
you know, that was someone who
OU has no one left from their roster last year. I don't think they got depleted between Ohio State, Indiana, and Minnesota. You know,
yeah. All right, let's take a look at the defense now, Chris. Defensively is where I got some questions. Now, Jaw Joyner, he's the name. Everybody knows him. He was in the top 10 defensive lineman. Wide receiver, Cody Lindenberg was someone who was big years ago but dealt with injuries, just like the SkyUpod guys were talking to us. You know, we just did our cornerbacks list. Justin Wally is on that list. Someone that obviously the Minnesota can hang their hat on. This defensively, though, Chris, this is where I think teams can get the old Badgers. Gophers, that is. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although I will say this, opposite of Whaley, you've got one of the best names in college football, I think, in Maverick Baranowski.
If that kid is not an all Big Ten guy by the time he graduates, something went wrong, right? With a name like that.
Absolutely. But no, I think you're right. I think this is a team that here's the problem. You're gonna see a lot of teams, I think, do what they used to do to Ohio State given this defense and just try to get out there and control the football and shorten the game and get that early lead. And then just keep Minnesota's offense off the field because the defense is just not that good.
Mm-hmm.
They are just not impressive.
Yeah. They're going to need to score some points is in the bottom line. If PJ Fleck tries to do the old, you know, win a low scoring game.
Yeah.
I don't think this team's got the chops to do it that way. I mean, you're looking at a season very similar to what they did last year.
But the only team in the Big Ten that can do that is Iowa.
And even then, when Iowa goes up against the big boys. They've got some
offense coming up, yeah. But even Iowa's got some offense coming up, so, you know.
All right, let's take,
get on it.
Let's take a look at the schedule and give our predictions here, Chris. So, taking a look at the 2024 Gopher schedule, we went over it with the SkyUpod guys. We're going to go over it again. They start the season off at home August 29th against North Carolina. This is going to be kind of a revenge game here. I call this a coin flip game. Win or lose or draw, if Minnesota can come out and play with the Tar Heels and keep it close, that bodes well, I think, for what remains for them this season. So we'll see. Rhode Island, Nevada, those should be W's. They get Iowa at home after beating them last year in a slobber knocker, 12-10. They go to Ann Arbor. Don't sleep on these guys if you're a Wolverine fan. They get
you.
If you're and then USC gets them. The USC's got to travel to Minnesota, and then they go to UCLA before they get their first bye. Those seven games are critical. I think they need to at least have five wins out of that seven to get to where I'm predicting them to be at 7-5.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually have them winning four of those, to be honest.
Okay.
I do think they get the kind of shocker win against North Carolina at home.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that stretch with Iowa, Michigan, and USC, even though they get two of them at home, That's a pretty rough chunk of schedule right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like they probably drop all three of those.
After that big road trip to Los Angeles, they get a bye week, and then they come home against Maryland. That might be, in all honesty, the last chance they have to get a win. Now, I think they can go into Illinois and win. I do. Depends on their health and depends on where Illinois is at this stage of the season. After that, it's going to be tough sledding. At Rutgers, another bye. Penn State at home to finish on senior day at Wisconsin. Now, like I brought it up with the SkyU Pod Boys, the Penn State and Wisconsin games are interesting. because I can see a scenario where one or both of those teams by this point in the season are nowhere near where they thought they were going to be. The fan base has turned against the head coach, and they could be right for the taking.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you look at Penn State and Wisconsin both, if they're not where they want to be, are they starting to run young guys in there? You know, Are they starting to get those guys playing time for next year? So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely an opportunity there should one or both those teams be struggling. Eric, I mean, if these teams are in, I think if the teams are anywhere near where I think they're going to be in the Big Ten, I cannot find a win for them in their last four games. Like you said, Illinois, maybe if Illinois is, you know, not where they want to be, but I really feel like those last four games are all L's.
Well, my prediction this year for Minnesota is 7-5 overall, 5-4 in the Big Ten. JR's similar to me. He's 7-5 overall, 4-5 in the Big Ten. And Chris, you're the most pessimistic out of all of us. You are at 5-7, 2-7 in the Big Ten. However, Vegas says they're only a 4.5 win team. I'm saying take the over.
Yeah, I think all of us would agree on that. Hammer the over at 4.5.
This is a better team, better roster than 4.5. If they stay healthy and if things go right for them at the beginning of the year. If they beat North Carolina to start the season off, they could get to the 5 wins pretty quickly.
Well, like you said, I think they've got to. Because that last half of that schedule is just brutal. You know, after that first bye, the only chance I think they've got it to win is against a bad Maryland team.
Mm. Well, if you are a Minnesota fan, we hope you enjoyed this preview. This is just a look at it from a couple Buckeyes. Do you think we're right, wrong? What do you think? What do you all think? Let us know in the comments section. Are you willing to put money on the over? We did last year, and we lost. We lost some money on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Sounds like we're all going to go back to do it again, you know, see if we can go back and maybe the law of averages works in our favor. I think Vegas, what do they know that we don't hear? Is it the schedule? Is it their lack of depth? Is it their distrust in PJ Fleck? Has he lost this team given where they were at last year? This is going to be a very interesting year, in my opinion, to watch Minnesota because, like they told us, the floor is probably 4. The ceiling could be as high as 8 or 9. We'll see. Chris, any last thoughts?
No. I mean, I would love to see this team actually get some success. I'd love to see them get a legitimate bowl bid this year. I just don't see it happening.
Like, share, subscribe. Really do appreciate all the support that you've all given us. We will continue these previews. Next up is the Huskies of Wisconsin. The Huskies of Washington. Wisconsin, Washington, 2 W teams now in the Big Ten. How many more are we going to have? It just continues to grow, Chris. Wyoming. Next year, we...
the fighting turds.
No way. Not a million years, man. Not in a million uniforms. Years. Appreciate all of you. We'll be back till next time. OH.
IO.
Go Bucks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.